somewhat obscure and not often quoted passage from the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4. Now the company of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said that any of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. They had much in common. They were bound together in friendship, fellowship, and faith. I asked my students kind of a trivia question this week. I asked them what they imagined was the most hazardous job on the Texas Tech campus. And things were guessed, of course, administrators, custodians, and so forth. I told them that the mortality rate for this job, the holders of this job in the last 15 years, the mortality rate is 75%. 3 out of 4 holders of this job have died in office. That was a real puzzle. And then I told them that the holder of this job is not a human being. Now you got an idea? That's the horse. The sacred symbol of Red Raider Nation, 3 of the 4 horses that we've had as mascots at Texas Tech have perished in the line of duty. One in a tractor or truck and trailer accident a few years back, one as a result of an illness, and one very prominently in front of 35,000 people, the very first football game I ever attended in 1994. It was dreadful. And of course, every time this happens, the question comes up, well, should we continue to have this as our mascot, this as our symbol? And the question goes without saying. The answer is yes, because we wouldn't be collectively Red Raider Nation without this symbol of our solidarity. So important, not just having the horse and having the horse run, but that it be a black horse. The first temporary replacement of the horse that died at the football game was a horse that was of proper training and temperament to do a very difficult job. Horses are not wired to do what that horse does in the front, you know, in the context of a football stadium. The right horse to fill in temporarily was brown. And I'm not making this up. They painted it black to preserve the symbol. I mean, it wasn't with anything toxic and all of that, but it illustrates how each one of us, individually identified by our name and so on, so values the collective identities that we have that we will go to great lengths and take great risks to preserve these symbols. Not unlike the central symbol of what makes each of us individually named uniquely, also named Christian, after the one who, at great risk and great cost, gave us the cross. This is a powerful symbol of our collective identity. And it has some interesting consequences. Religious people, Christian or otherwise, but the research that's been done relates to Christianity, some of which is my own. I actually got a really nice email this week. It had attached to it the page proofs of the latest article that I'm having published. It's coming out in a journal this month. It's always a big day when you get the page proofs and you say, yeah, well, you know, what a good boy am I. On the same day, I got another email telling me rather dismissively that a grant application I'd submitted a couple months ago was rejected. So you live in both worlds at the same time. But in any case, this article is entitled, the title of the article is a question, is religion a health resource for the poor? And it builds on a whole body of research that links religiousness with better health. And I sometimes ask my students, would you like to know the answer to the question, are religious people healthier than non-religious people? And if the answer was yes, would you go to church more often? Well, the answer is a kind of qualified and nuanced yes, and this latest article that is coming out this month sheds another element of nuance and qualification to the essentially yes, that religion serves through social support and solidarity to actually increase in some ways that are even measurably, statistically significant, the overall health of religious people. And the vector is social support, or, to put it in the words of the hymn, ties that bind. The things that create in us a collective identity also help us live in ways that are more healthy. So I want to talk this morning about the ties that bind. What is it that creates and keeps us not just individual people with unique names, but tied together collectively following the name of Christ, considering ourselves to be Christian? Well, I have an acronym to remember that. The ties that bind keep us face to face. FACE is the acronym. First, friendship. Friendship, kind of hard to describe. It's more an experience, really. But who are the friends in our lives? Well, one way to think of it is this. Who are the people that if they were to phone you or stop you or in some other way contact you and say, hey, have you got a minute? You would flat out have a minute. It doesn't matter what else you were doing. If somebody who is your friend says, you got a minute, you've got a minute, and you for them. And maybe that minute is a minute, or maybe it's much, much longer than that. And whether they asked you for a minute and then take an hour or a day or several days, well, that's what you do, because these are the people that, well, they've had minutes for you before. And it's the relationship that's more important than whatever it was that you were doing. And it's useful to know that we have people in our lives that will set aside what they're doing for the sake of our friendship. Face to face, the ties that bind, friendship. So also, acceptance. Now, acceptance is one word that begins with A that describes a tie that binds, and I chose it as opposed to another, which we might think of, approval. Not necessarily. We accept in each other a lot of what we might not otherwise approve of, especially if we're the parents of a 14-year-old. Get the idea? There's a lot of things that we accept for the sake of the relationship that we might not approve of otherwise, and green hair can't last forever, or something to that effect. Of all of the things that might or might not come out of the next 2 months of presidential campaigning, I hope the one thing that comes out of it is that we will change our immediate stereotypic understanding of the face of an unwed teenage pregnant girl. Not approval, but acceptance of what is and moving forward together with who knows what wonders and blessings, trials and constraints there might be. The ties that bind, face to face, friendship, acceptance. Because beneath all of this is commitment. That commitment in a relationship of any sort, whether it be in a church, in a community, or in a family, goes on regardless of circumstance. Circumstances are simply moments in time to work through, suffer through, or celebrate through. But the relationship itself implies a kind of commitment that is not shaken by circumstance. To put it another way, home is where they have to take you in. The ties that bind, friendship, acceptance, commitment, face to face. And finally, empathy. Empathy born out of shared experience. There's very little that can happen, in fact, nothing I can think of, that can or has happened to anyone in this room that couldn't or has not happened to someone else. And when the experience of stress or turmoil or of joy and celebration occurs and you want to share it in some way for support or simply to spread the good news, well, people in our lives know how it is. And it's that knowing how it is that becomes a tie that binds. It's empathy grown out of shared experience. Face to face, a tie that binds. Friendship, acceptance, commitment, empathy. And if perhaps you find yourself humming a Christmas carol at this point in this meditation, it's the Spirit at work. Okay, hum a Christmas carol in your mind for a second. The Lord High God, the Creator of heaven and earth, came face to face with humankind, the babe in Bethlehem, who grew to be the man who experienced all that human life can bring. experienced it and gave us a level of empathy that we cannot even begin to imagine, but only count on, when we think of how far he was willing to go out of a commitment to humankind on the cross. The experience of being human, the commitment to die and rise again, for all of it, is a level of acceptance the likes of which is almost impossible to imagine when we baptize into the fellowship of the Christian Church. We imply and reproduce and reenact in some way a level of acceptance that God has for us regardless of circumstance. And I don't think it's any accident that many people's favorite, or certainly among their most favorite hymns, is "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Friendship based on the promise that, well, God will always have a minute should you decide to call upon God in prayer. Or God will always have a minute to walk with me and talk with me and tell me in some form or fashion I am God's own. And of course, the human face of that are in fact the people to whom we are tied. But the ties that bind simply reflect the ties that God has to God's world and every one of us. Face to face, in friendship, acceptance, commitment, empathy. Through God and Christ Jesus, the ties that bind. Amen.